May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the Church, and so it seems fitting today to have a celebration after our service. We will share food from the many different countries and cultures represented amongst us at St Ursula's, and we will hear about the life and experience of Christians in very different contexts across our world. The Church was international from the beginning.
We heard in our reading from the book of Acts how the Spirit empowered the first disciples to speak in different languages to communicate what God had done in Christ. Devout Jews from every nation under heaven had gathered in Jerusalem for the festival, and each one hears the good news spoken in their own language. 3,000 people respond to Peter's sermon that day, and the church is born. Now, of course, despite being from different nations, these are all Jews at this point. But soon, the early church would also welcome non-Jews, though with much hesitation and debate at first. Right from the beginning at Pentecost, we see a glimpse of what the church will one day become. A diverse people from cultures and languages, all cultures and languages united in Christ. The fulfillment of that vision is found in the book of Revelation, where John sees a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. So, we celebrate today the birth of the church, the beginning of that diverse multicultural community united in Christ. But the birth of a church is only possible because of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, not only its birth, but the continuing life, growth, and flourishing of the church is dependent on the Spirit. As one writer puts it, the Spirit did not stop working after the first days of the church. The Spirit is present in all times and all places, making Christ known. And our baptism makes us participants in a story initiated and sustained by the Holy Spirit. The church cannot exist without the Spirit. At his ascension, Jesus, as he leaves to return to his Father, gives his disciples a task to be his witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth. But in order to do this, he tells them, stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And this power indeed comes upon them in dramatic fashion as they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The experience is hard to put into words, and Luke uses metaphorical language to express the unpredictable life and power of the Spirit. It's like rushing wind and like fire. The fire comes upon the disciples together as a group, yet also rests like a tongue on each individual. The Spirit fills each one of them, but also unites them together as a community. There's always that personal and communal aspect to the Spirit's work within us and among us. And I want us to think about both those aspects this morning. The Spirit is not just an impersonal spiritual force. It's not like the Force in the Star Wars films, if any of you know them. The Spirit is personal. The Spirit is God's life-giving presence with us. In the words of the Creed, which we say every Sunday, and some of us were reflecting on these words last Tuesday, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. Just as through the Spirit God brought life out of nothing at the beginning, at the creation, so through the Spirit we are brought to new life in Christ. Without the Spirit, we are dead. And the life that the Spirit gives us is God's life, the very gift of God's self within us and among us. The Spirit leads us into an intimacy with God our Father and through Christ. The coming of the Spirit is first and foremost to bring us into a deeper relationship with God, Father and Son. So the heart of our faith is not a set of programs and activities, however dramatic and successful or whatever they may be. The heart of our faith is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells his disciples about the Spirit. He talks first about the Father. Everything Jesus is and says and does comes out of an intimate relationship with the Father. He even tells Philip, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Wherever Jesus is, the Father is also present. But Jesus then goes on to tell his disciples about the Spirit, and in effect says, "Wherever the Spirit is, he is also present." The work of the Spirit with them and in them is to bring them into that same deep, intimate relationship with the Father that Jesus has. It's the Spirit who opens our eyes to see, our minds to understand, and our hearts to respond to God. It's the Spirit who enables us to address God intimately as our Father, just as Jesus did. The Spirit assures us that we are God's children, as Paul tells the Christians in Rome. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received a spirit of adoption as we cry, "Abba, Father." Now, of course, we do sometimes allow ourselves to fall back into fear, to become enslaved by all kinds of anxieties and compulsions. But the Spirit continually reminds us of who we are as God's children and prompts us to pray, "Abba, Father." It's the Spirit, God's presence within us, that helps us to pray even when we don't have any words. It's the Spirit who gives us that inner assurance of God's love and makes our faith real to us. Without the Spirit, we cannot pray. Without the Spirit, the words of the Bible cannot speak deeply into our hearts, but just remain dead words on a page. Without the Spirit, the bread and the wine cannot nourish us and feed us. Indeed, there is no life in our faith, worship, or practice as Christians without the Spirit. Calvin, who we might associate with particularly emphasizing the word, also emphasizes the work of the Spirit. And he says, "Until our minds are intent on the Spirit, we view Christ coldly and at a distance from us. It's by the Spirit alone that he unites himself to us." So no wonder Jesus emphasized to his disciples the importance of the Spirit, telling them that he will leave them soon. He promises that the Father will send another advocate, the Spirit of truth. And the Greek word paraclete means advocate, comforter, encourager, teacher, God on our side, as someone put it in one of our Lectio meetings recently. When Jesus leaves his disciples, they will not be left on their own. The Spirit will teach them everything and remind them of all that Jesus had said to them. He will be a personal presence with them, helping them to understand the meaning of Jesus' words and actions, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and drawing them deeper into a relationship with God. Now, of course, the Spirit is not the possession of the church. We don't own the Spirit. The Spirit blows where he chooses, as we're told. Nevertheless, there's always a basic orientation of the Spirit to Jesus. The Spirit continues to work with us, in us, to teach us, to strengthen us, to open our eyes, and to give us life. Whenever we have a new awareness of God's love and forgiveness, that's the work of the Spirit. Whenever a phrase or a passage from the Bible strikes us and penetrates our hearts and minds, that's the work of the Spirit. Whenever we are sustained in resilience and hope, when we are filled with joy and thanksgiving, even in very difficult circumstances, that is the work of the Spirit. Whenever we recognize the presence of Christ in friend or stranger, that is the work of the Spirit. The Spirit is God on our side, God with us and God within us, the comforter, the counselor. As one writer puts it, the Spirit is the heart's companion, the filler of our solitude. But he is also the one who creates community. I began this morning talking about the birth of the church and the celebration of our diverse community united in Christ. We cannot be a Christian on our own. We need one another. There is a personal but also a communal aspect to the work of the Spirit. The experience of the Spirit may be intensely personal, but it is never private. I wonder how we see the church. Perhaps we may sometimes feel that the church is an optional extra, and that the central thing is our personal faith and intimacy with God through the Spirit. But it is together that we learn about God's grace in Christ, together that we are drawn deeper into God's life and love. Our communion with God is inextricably linked to our communion with one another. As we say in the well-known words of the prayer we call the grace, taken from some words at the end of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. The fellowship, the Spirit draws us into fellowship or communion, not only with God, but with one another. So today, as we think about the Spirit, we also think about the church. God has in his wisdom chosen to work through the church. And if we are open to the Spirit, we will be drawn into the fellowship of the church, despite all its weaknesses and sometimes very terrible failures. And just as we need the Spirit as individuals to grow in our faith, we need the Spirit as a church. Without the Spirit, we can become what one person called either fast asleep church, with no real life, doing everything just as we've always done, or frenetic church, running one busy program after another, but without any spiritual depth. We need to pray for the life of the Spirit in all our relationships and all our activities. Two priorities for our church this year are the music in church and our work with families and children. So please pray for the Spirit to inspire our music in our worship, music of all styles, traditional and modern, and pray for the Spirit to be at work in the lives of our children, our families, and all those who work with them. At the end of one of the Eucharistic prayers, the one we use most frequently here at St. Ursula's, are the words, "Send your Holy Spirit on your people." This is a prayer we need to pray for ourselves and one another again and again and again. We are to be constantly filled with the Spirit, that we might live in deeper intimacy with God and with one another and declare God's love to those beyond the church. Let us pray. Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your people and grant to us a new desire for you, a new communion with one another, a new energy to serve others, that your life may grow among us and your kingdom come. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.